talked about the call in the first few verses. Then we talked about the correction. And now in verse 13 through the end of chapter 1, we want to talk about the conversion. And Paul, when writing back to these churches of Galatia, he writes back and in a sense gives his testimony. And by the way, let me tell you this. One of the best ways for you to witness to people is to simply give them your testimony. Amen. Just simply say, well, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. And, you know, and oftentimes you don't even have to tell them what Jesus can do for them. Just tell them what he did for you. And then when you're done, say, you know, he could do the same for you. One of the best, most effective ways is just to let people know what Jesus did for them. You know, word of mouth spreads. You go to a restaurant, you really like the restaurant, and you tell somebody, I'm going to tell you something, that was absolutely, you need to go to that restaurant. Well, you know, odds are, before long, they're going to go out to eat sometimes, say, hey, you know, so-and-so mentioned that restaurant, and then they're going to go, and if they like it, that's how news spreads. And let me tell you, that's how news spreads about Christ. When you tell people, this is what Christ did for me, and buddy, he has changed my life and given blessings I don't deserve, I can't describe, it'll make people say, well, man, I want something like that. And half the time when they find out we're Christian, they're like, well, I don't want what they have. Because, man, we're grumpy and boo-hooing and criticizing everybody and judging everybody and mad at everybody that's doing what we're not doing. And, you know, by the time we get done, everybody's like, I don't want to be a Christian. Who would want that? They're even miserable. Why would I want that? And so may we be living testimonies of what Christ has done. And let me say this, that Paul corrected the churches, and he's writing to saved people. He's writing to the churches of Galatia. And remember, the title of our series is Stand Fast. And he's writing to them because they've gone away from the teaching that they were taught. They've gone away from the doctrine that they were taught, that Paul had preached, the ministry he had given them. And he said, I can't believe how soon you've been removed from what is right. So he's correcting the saved. But can I say this? I don't find anywhere in here that Paul judges the lost. He's talking to the saved. And can I say this? Instead of condemning everybody for everything we don't like, we need to work on ourselves. Can I have an amen right there, Kerwin Baptist Church? We got enough issues. We need tissues because we got issues. Let's quit worrying about everybody out in the world and everything we think that they're not doing. And bless God, I can't believe you're, you know, just long we just leave that alone. Let's go into our own closet, get our own skeletons out and deal with them because we've got our own problems. Notice, if you would, verse 13. Let's read on down to the end of the chapter and then we'll kind of go quickly in this tonight. Verse 13, for ye have heard, Paul says, of my conversation in time past. That word conversation means behavior. It's talking about his reputation. Ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Well, we're going to get to that in just a little bit. I'm excited about that one. Look at verse 17. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. You say, why are these verses important? They're important. I'll explain. Look at verse 22. And was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And the key to the whole book, and they glorified God in me. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight as we look at Paul's conversion. What a wonderful thing you did for this man. And then, Lord, we think, what an amazing thing you've done for us. The fact that you have been willing to convert us when we asked. We came to you and begged and pleaded, and you saved us. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight as we look at what your word has to say in this end of this first chapter of Galatians. In your name we pray, amen. First, I want you to notice tonight Paul's past. He begins in verse 13 and 14 talking about his past. Notice this, "For ye have heard of my behavior," my conversation, my conduct, the things that I did. "Ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." Let me say first off tonight that his reputation preceded him. His reputation, he said, "Ye have heard of my conversation." And can I say that Paul, before he was ever converted, before he ever became a preacher, he was very well known, and especially by Christians, but not for good reasons. He was persecuting Christians, and we find later that he was persecuting the church as a whole in any opportunity he had, and his reputation had preceded him. And let me just say this, just because you might have a bad reputation that precedes you, you don't have to have a bad reputation succeed you. Just because it precedes doesn't mean it needs to succeed. That means that you have a chance for God to change the path of your life. And let me say this, right sitting here tonight, we have some folks that might have been a little bit known in the area. We have some folks that might have, where you grew up, be it in this area or wherever, that maybe your reputation had preceded you. And maybe there's some individuals back at the hometown, wherever that might be, and they would be shocked to know that you're saved, and they would be shocked to see you sitting in a church, and they remember the things you did, and they remember the places you went, and they remember the stuff that you used to do. But can I say this? Thank God that it doesn't matter to him what's in our past. It doesn't matter to him what our reputation is. When you come to Christ and you come by faith believing, Jesus will save you. It doesn't matter what reputation you have. What matters now is that you've been forgiven of that reputation. You've been forgiven of the sins that caused that reputation. And while man might remember it forever, God will never ever remember it again. Heard a preacher preaching one time, and he pulled the scriptures as far as the east is from the west, and how Jesus has cast our sins into the depths of the sea. And they had a baptistry there at the church while he was preaching, and you could see the water in it. And he was preaching about how Jesus cast our sins in the depths of the sea. And buddy, he took off his jacket and he said, "God took my sins and he threw them into the baptistry, but I don't have that many jackets, so I'm not going to do that tonight. Plus, we don't have any water, so it wouldn't make any sense right now." But anyway, can I say this? That some of you sitting here might say, "You know, preacher, I'm saved and I know it, but man, I just did a number of things in my past, and I just don't think that God would allow me or use me to do something for him." Can I say, you are exactly who God will use. His reputation preceded him. He said, "You've heard of my conversation. You've heard of the things that I did." Notice, second, his religion polluted him. He said this, "You've heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion." Can I say that religion, I believe, always pollutes?
Amen. That's right.
You say, "Wait, but you're a preacher." Can I tell you something? We're not interested in religion.
Right.
We're interested in the Bible.
Amen.
Religion, you all know religion is man's attempt to define God. It's us trying to bring God down to our level and create a little box around it and say, "This is how I perceive God." And can I say that Paul, being involved in the Jews' religion, by the way, nobody was more zealous, nobody was more into it, nobody was more knowledgeable, nobody had studied more, nobody was versed more. Paul had given everything he could to this religion. And when he got to the end, he persecuted Christians, he had done studied everything, he had all the rituals down, he had all the things down that he had to do. He knew when to wear what and what day that you couldn't eat this, and he had all these things down. And at the end of it, he realized that religion was empty. And can I say, religion will always be empty. God forbid that we begin to treat our churches like a religion. Like, if you don't do things the way we do it, bless God, you're not saved. Can I tell you something? That's nothing but a bunch of junky religion. This Bible gives you one way to salvation. Just because somebody doesn't dress like you or look like you or act the way you act doesn't mean they're not saved. It means they have different opinions. But the Bible says there's one way to salvation. Now, at this church, we believe that this Bible teaches that after you get saved, that you ought to learn to live unto holiness and purity and honor God with your life. And we believe that. But can I say this, that religion never helped anybody. And the Bible says that Paul, although he was as far as you could go in that religion, it had taken him as far as that religion could take him, and it can't take you far enough. Right. Only God can take you where you need to go. I noticed thirdly that his ruthlessness profited him. Notice what he said. I like this. He said, I am beyond measure. That means I can't even describe to you how I persecuted the church of God. And wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion. Remember, he says religion again. He said, "My in time past in the Jews' religion." Then he says in the second verse, I profited in the Jews' religion. He keeps bringing that word up, religion, religion. And what he's saying to them is this, religion won't save you. Religion won't change you. Religion won't free you. Only Christ can do that. But it says here, I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation. Notice this, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. That means this, Paul was ruthless. And not just ruthless, he was thorough. He gave everything he could to this religion. And Paul said, it profited me. Now, what Paul was doing, was it right? No. He was persecuting Christians. He was persecuting the church. But he profited in that religion. And can I tell you this? Anything you do against Christ, Satan will make sure you profit from it.
That's right.
He will make sure it works fine for you. Yeah. You're not going to have problems when you go against God. What you're going to do is you're going to have Satan that's going to try to make everything just right for you. Because, can I say this, he'll make sure that you profit. And he'll make sure that things look good. And he'll make sure that you think, well, everything's wonderful. Satan, as long as Satan can keep you from God's perfect will for your life, he'll make sure that it looks good to you. His ruthlessness profited him. And can I say that many of us in time past gave a whole bunch of effort to religion. But when you came to the day you realized, I'm so religious that it stinks. But I've never been saved. And my dear friend, that's the difference that has to be made. I want you to notice, secondly tonight, not only Paul's past, but Paul's pardon. Notice, if you would, verse 15 and 16. And I like how Paul does. First, Paul describes, hey, I was a pretty bad guy. And I notice, if you know how Paul is thinking here, he's like, I'm going to let these people know that I was involved in religion, but I still needed to be saved. You get that? He's showing them I was as religious as they come, and I still needed to be saved. Not only that, does he give him his religion, but he shows that he had done evil against God. He'd given grief to the church of God, and yet God was still willing to save him.
Amen.
Notice, if you would, verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Now, to give you a little bit of English lesson here, just to make sure you can understand what we're saying. The first phrase in verse 15 is describing the first phrase in verse 16. In other words, what Paul is saying is this, but when it pleased God to reveal his son in me. And he gives two brief commercials in between. Because when he's saying, when it pleased God to reveal his son in me, he then has to describe God, because now he brought God up. And he said, when it pleased God, and let me tell you about God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Now, what is Paul saying? First, under Paul's pardon is this, he's saying, God created me. He's saying, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb. Nothing else could probably even come closer to describing why we do not believe in abortion. Because as soon as a child, as soon as there's conception, then that child is in the eyes of God. And we don't believe in abortion. But Paul is saying here this, listen, God separated me from my mother's womb. He's saying this, a lot of things could have happened. I could have not even survived. But God's kept me alive. God protected me. God separated me from my mother's womb. God not only created me, but He's protected me, and God's watched over me, and God brought me to the point where I saw that I was lost, gave me opportunity to be saved, and I did that. So not only says that God created me, notice second, He said God called me. He said, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. Now, we've talked a lot about this the last couple of weeks. What is grace? Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. God giving us what we don't deserve. This is what Paul said. It is wonderful. I don't deserve the fact that God has called me to do something for Him. By the way, God, I believe with my heart, and some people would argue with me doctrinally, I believe with all my heart, God has called every one of us to do a certain task. I believe He's called off. Now, he doesn't call you to be a pastor like He called me. But can I say this? I believe that God has a plan for every person in this building, and God has called you for a purpose, and that's His grace that did that. None of us deserve or have earned the opportunity to serve Him or do something for Him. We don't deserve that, and we're nothing but a bunch of rotten, dirty sinners that have been saved by the grace of God. But the fact that He separated us from our mother's womb, He created us, and not only that, just we who are absolutely nothing, He has given us the chance to serve Him and called us by His grace. Amen. Isn't it amazing that people that don't deserve God giving us a chance to serve Him refuse to serve Him? Yeah. It ought to be a privilege to come to church, folks. Amen. It's a privilege. We don't deserve to walk in the doors of a church. We don't deserve to get down on our knees and approach the throne of God. But it's only His grace that's made that possible. And Paul, he had it down from the start. Paul knew every bit of tradition. He knew every bit of religion. And he realized that none of that mattered. All of it stunk. None of it had done one thing for anybody. But he realized, as a man that had persecuted and fought the church and done everything he could do in religion, all of a sudden he realized, this Savior that I've been trying to persecute, He has enough love and grace for me. Even after all that I've done for Him, He still called me and gave me a chance to serve Him. There ought to be a whole bunch more amens on that, folks. You're teaching a Sunday school class. Let me tell you something. That's a gift of God. You sing in a choir. You work on a bus route. You do anything in any kind of ministry here. Can I tell you something? We ought to be honored that God would call us to do something. Not only did He create me, Paul says, not only did He call me, but third, He converted me. He says this, but when it pleased God to reveal His Son in me. Aren't you glad for the day that God gave you the chance to understand the gospel message? The day God gave you the chance to understand what the Bible says about salvation. Paul said, when it pleased God to reveal His Son in me. By the way, he had a pretty good testimony to tell on the road to Damascus. And I notice in Paul here as he's talking to Christians that have gone away from the faith, and he's reminding them that I'm an individual that used to be for rituals and used to be for religion. Remember what these people had left the truth for? Religion. They had false prophets that came in and had traditions and religions and the law. And they said, hey, you got to start doing these things in the law to be saved. And Paul writes back and he says, I can't believe for you have so quickly you've removed yourself from what is right. The law doesn't save. Only Christ saves. And I can't believe that you would do that. And now Paul is writing to these individuals and he said, hey, I've been down the road of religion. I've been down the road of rituals. I've been down the road of tradition. And it didn't save me then. And it doesn't save me now. And it won't save you either, but Jesus Christ will save you, and by His grace He'll call you and He'll reveal His Son in you. Paul's pardon. But the best part of this verse, I want you to notice, if you would, in verse 16, to reveal His Son in me. Remember verse 15, but when it pleased God, then he has two commercials about God, and then verse 16, to reveal His Son in me. Why? Notice what he says, that I might. Then he gives something else. Now, very wonderful principle here of God's word. Paul is saying, God save me that I might such and such. Can I tell you something, dear friend? God did not save you to leave you. And God did not save you to sit. God saved each of us that we might do something for him. Paul said he'd done all this, even after all I did to God, after all I did to Christ and his people and his apostles and all the persecution. He saved me. He revealed his son in me that I might serve him. And I'm here to tell you, folks, listen, God saves us so that we will serve him. What's the whole point of salvation? To serve him. Notice thirdly, Paul's preaching. He said he revealed his son in me that I might, notice this, preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. His past, his pardon, and third now his preaching, Paul's preaching. I want you to notice first the passion of his preaching. He says this, that I might preach what? Him. It's all about him. Can I tell you something? Nowadays, everybody wants a preacher to tell all these stories and all these things and all these little anecdotes and all the, it's just nice and nobody's offended and nobody's hurt. But can I tell you, Paul said he saved me that I might preach him. We don't preach us. We don't preach. That's why we don't go pull up every preacher and every church around and criticize them and why we don't believe like they do and why they're rotten. Because that's preaching about them. It's not preaching about him. We got enough to say about him. We don't have to waste our time on everybody else. Paul says that I might preach him, not myself. That I might preach him. He saved me so that I could go out and tell everybody about him. Yeah. That was his passion. I want you to notice, second, the priority of his preaching. He says that I might preach him what? Among the heathen. Yeah. Let me tell you a sad story about some of our independent Baptist churches. We don't like the heathen. The Bible says we're supposed to love them. Bible says we're supposed to reach them. Bible says we're supposed to care for them. And we all say, that's right, preacher, till they walk in the door. Oh my, I want to scoot over here. Hold your wallet. See, what happened is we become glorified country clubs instead of churches. We've been more interested in, you know, we don't want nobody to mess up the carpet as we are about someone getting saved. And can I say, dear friend, Paul says, hey, he saved me that I would preach him among the heathen. Hey. And may it always be a priority of this church to reach lost people. And Paul says this, hey, I'm not just going to sit around and talk with people that I'm comfortable around and kind of surround myself with everybody that feels the exact same way I do so that I feel confident and comfortable and I don't feel like I'm the only one. Paul says, I'm going to the heathen. Yeah. I'm going to the people that don't want me there. I'm going to the people that don't care about me, don't agree with me. They're mad at me for even coming. But Paul says, hey, he saved me after all I did to him. I want to go tell the heathen what he's done for me. His passion is priority, but notice third, his proving. This is one of my favorite things. He says this, that I might preach him among the heathen immediately. In other words, when Jesus revealed his son, called Paul to preach, immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. Paul says, hey, all I know is God saved me and he called me to go preach to the heathen. I didn't go ask anybody's permission. I didn't go check with the board. I didn't go check with the convention. I didn't go check with anybody. I didn't go to mom or dad and say, hey, do you think this is a good idea? Can I tell you something? I think every decision you make as a young person, a teenager, I think you ought to go to your mom and dad. I think you ought to get their wisdom, and I think you ought to show them respect. The Bible teaches that. Even to this day, almost everything I do, I make any kind of decision, I always call dad, and I talk to him about it, and sometimes I might already have in my mind, this is what I think I'm going to do, but I always run it by him out of respect, and I need that wisdom. And in a multitude of counselors, there's safety, there's wisdom, and I believe our church needs to operate that. That's why, you know, I believe, well, I thank God for good deacons here, And in the future, I'm sure over the years, we'll add deacons and things. We need a multitude of counselors. That's why the things we want to let you know what we're doing. And I want you to know, as a new pastor, I want you to know what's going on in our finances and different things, because we need a multitude of counselors. We need wisdom and advice. But can I tell you this? When God calls you to do something and God leads you to do something, it shouldn't matter what mom or dad say, and it shouldn't matter what Uncle Henry or Aunt Phyllis think. If God's called you to do it, you ought to do it. Yeah. If God's called you to Bible college, young person, you ought to go to Bible college. Yeah, God's called you to the mission field, you better go to the mission field. If God's called you to do something for Him, you better do it. Paul says, hey, I didn't ask anybody's permission. I didn't even go get advice from flesh or blood from anybody. I just went and did what God told me to do. It might have been a little bit ignorant, and it might have been a little bit quick, and there might not have been a lot of planning, but God sure blessed it. God sure blessed Paul, didn't He? Because Paul had faith. He said, I conferred not with flesh and blood. God give us a generation of people that confer not with flesh and blood. Give us a bunch of people that confer with God's word. Mom and dad, I know I'm treading on dangerous ground because I don't have kids that are grown. I don't have teenagers yet. Trust me, I'm going to face it, and I know it. And you know it. If you know my youngins, you know it. But can I say this? Last time I checked, the Bible doesn't say for you to confer with your daughter or your son about what the rules of the house should be. Right. You confer with the Bible what the rules of the house should be. Yes. Bible doesn't say you go to your daughter or your son and ask, well, what party would you like to go to, or what would you not like to go to? And, well, let's sit down and get and see what you think about. No, Bible doesn't say that. Bible says, hey, you know what? You're the mom. You're the dad. You answer to God for raising those kids. Yes. You make the rules, and they listen to the rules, and that's the way it ought to be. Give us a generation that's so, you know, we're just so afraid to hurt everybody's feelings and offend this person and that person. Now we're afraid of our own children. You ever seen these shows on TV of these nannies that come in to these kids that are acting up and screaming and hollering and hitting mom and dad? You ever seen them things on TV? I want to shoot them. I mean, they show 7-8-year-olds hitting mom, beating her up, showing mom a picture with bruises, and he just loses his temper. If I did that, I'd lose an arm. God help us. God tells us what to do. We do it. End of story. I want you to notice last is perseverance. Verse 17 to 21. Here's Paul, versed in religion, but he wasn't versed in Christianity. He knew the traditions, but he hadn't yet had to learn to trust the Father. He stepped out by faith. He said, I didn't ask anybody. I didn't confer with anybody. He said, I just took off traveling. Notice what he says in verse 17. He says, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. He said, even the apostles that I tried to persecute, I didn't go up, talk to them, get advice from them. I didn't do anything. He said, I just left and started preaching to the heathen. Notice in verse 17, he says this, I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Where was Damascus? That's where he'd gotten saved the first time. He said, I went to Arabia and preached to the heathen. I came back to where I had been converted, and I preached there. Look at verse 18. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. 3 years. He was preaching field to field, dirt hole to dirt hole, house to house. Hadn't conferred with anybody. Didn't have a whole bunch of support. Didn't have people taking offerings. Didn't have people calling in, hey, we're really praying for you, Paul. He just knew God had saved him, and he knew God had called him, and he went out and did it. Man, nowadays we get teenagers and we're going to go to Bible college. Well, let me see what the dorm looks like. What kind of mattress do they have on the bed in the dorm? What kind of facilities do they have? Do they have a nice gymnasium? Do they have this? Do they have that? Well, I'll tell you something. We're spoiled as Christians nowadays. Paul said, hey, I just headed off into the heathen. I just went to Arabia, went to Damascus. Man, I spent years out there preaching, going place to place, didn't know what I was going to make, didn't know what was going to happen. I just know that the God I used to persecute is the God that saved me and called me, and I'm going to serve Him. Then he says this in verse 18 again. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. Paul lets the churches know these are all the places I just took off and started preaching. Now, I want you to notice last, and this is my favorite point, Paul's progression. Look, if you would, at verse 22. And was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. In other words, Paul says they didn't really know me by my face. But in verse 23, he lets us know that they knew him by his actions. He says, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. I want you to notice in these verses Paul's progression. We find here in verse 23 that Paul went from reputation to redemption. He went from everybody knowing the bad things he did to being a person that was redeemed by the grace of God. We have sitting right here, every one of us have gone from reputation to redemption if you've been saved. And by the way, can I say this? You might have done some things in your past that are rotten and wrong, and you get saved, and boy, life changes. And every once in a while, that old filthy life, those thoughts, those actions, those words will come back out and rear their ugly heads at a time when Satan knows you're weak. And can I say that? Can I say this? When that happens, you need to remember, you have already been redeemed for those things before you even said them. He already died for them, and he's already forgiven you before you said them, before you did them, before you went there. God offers forgiveness. He offers redemption. And we need to make sure that we understand that. The second thing I noticed in the progression was this. He went from persecuting to preaching. He went from persecution to preaching. You talk about God changing a life. You talk about God changing an individual. A man that had profited, a man that was wealthy, a man that was trained, a man that had everything you could want. I mean, he was in the hierarchy. He was making money. He was profiting. He had a reputation. He was well known. And people, they respected him as far as he was able to really persecute the Christians. And he could do it like nobody else. And he was more zealous than anybody else was. He had profited from that. And Paul left all the profit and he left all the persecution and went to preaching. And I think he found out that there wasn't a whole bunch of profit in the preaching. But I'm going to tell you something. I think Paul never made the money preaching that he did persecuting. But boy, God sure gave him some blessings that he'd never had before. I want you to notice this last verse. And they glorified God in me. The last thing I notice is this. Paul went from giving God grief to giving God glory. Now listen to me. I want you to get this. Let me tell you how you give God the glory. When you and I keep our lives right, remember what Paul's preaching. He's preaching you've gone away from what you're supposed to do, what you've been taught. You know better. Why are you doing that? Why are you going down that route? Every time you go down that route, it doesn't satisfy. It's not giving you what you thought it would give you, and yet you're still trying to go down that road. Why would you remove yourself from the truth? Listen to me. When you and I clean our life up and live right and live holy, that allows God to bless our life. When God blesses our life and people see God blessing our life, they know that's from God, not from us. Do you hear me? See, if you and I are doing things to cause success in our life, people see that we're the ones that caused it. And that doesn't do anything for anybody. But when people can see the supernatural power of God, and God does things that you can't take credit for, that you can't explain, that you can't describe. It's just obvious that it's God. Listen, that gives glory to God. Why a lot of times our life doesn't bring glory to God is because we're not living right enough and clean enough for God to be able to bless us enough so that we can give glory to God. Listen, people can't see Christ in us if we're not living right. And when people see Christ, that gives him glory. And Paul says this, he went from persecuting to preaching. He went from reputation to redemption. But he went from giving God grief to giving God glory.